Good morning. All right, let's finish Genesis today. Let's go to Genesis 50. Genesis 50, okay? Then Joseph fell on his father's face and wept over him and kissed him. And Joseph commanded his servants, the physicians, to embalm his father. So the physicians embalmed Israel. Now 40 days were required for it, for such is the period required for embalming. And the Egyptians wept for him 70 days. And when the days of mourning for him were past, Joseph spoke to the household of Pharaoh, saying, If now I have found favor in your sight, please speak to Pharaoh, saying, My father made me swear, saying, Behold, I am about to die. In my grave, which I dug for myself in the land of Canaan, there you shall bury me. Now, therefore, please let me go up and bury my father, then I will return. And Pharaoh said, Go up and bury your father, as he made you swear. So Joseph went up to bury his father, and with him went up all the servants of Pharaoh, the elders of his household, and all the elders of the land of Egypt. And all the household of Joseph, and his brothers, and his father's household, they left only their little ones, and their flocks, and their herds in the land of Goshen. There also went up with him both chariots and horsemen, and it was a very great company. When they came to the threshing floor of Atad, which is beyond the Jordan, they lamented there with a very great and sorrowful lamentation, and he observed 7 days mourning for his father. Now when the inhabitants of the land, the Canaanites, saw the mourning at the threshing floor of Atad, they said, This is a grievous mourning for the Egyptians. Therefore it was named Abel Mizraim, which is beyond the Jordan. And thus his sons did for him as he had charged them. For his sons carried him to the land of Canaan and buried him in the cave of the field of Machpelah before Mamre, which Abraham had brought along with the field for burial site from Ephron the Hittite. And after he had buried his father, Joseph returned to Egypt, he and his brothers and all who had gone up with him to bury his father. When Joseph's brothers saw that their father was dead, they said, What if Joseph should bear a grudge against us and pay us back in full for all the wrong which we did to him? So they sent a message to Joseph, saying, Your father charged before he died, saying, Thus you shall say to Joseph, Please forgive, I beg you, the transgression of your brothers and their sin, for they did you wrong. And now please forgive the transgression of the servants of the God of your father. And Joseph wept when they spoke to him. Then his brothers also came and fell down before him and said, Behold, we are your servants. But Joseph said to them, Do not be afraid, for I am in God's place. Am I in God's place? And as for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good in order to bring about this present result to preserve many people alive. So therefore, do not be afraid. I will provide for you and your little ones. So he comforted them and spoke kindly to them. Now Joseph stayed in Egypt, he and his father's household, and Joseph lived 110 years. And Joseph saw the third generation of Ephraim's sons, also the sons of Machir, the son of Manasseh, were born on Joseph's knees. And Joseph said to his brothers, I am about to die, but God will surely take care of you and bring you up from this land to the land which he promised and on oath to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. Then Joseph made the sons of Israel swear, saying, God will surely take care of you, and you shall carry my bones up from here. So Joseph died at the age of 110 years, and he was embalmed and placed in a coffin in Egypt. Amen. So now we see the aftermath of the death of Jacob, of Israel. And so Joseph, it says he fell on his father's face and wept over and kissed him. If you go to, let me see, chapter 46, 45, 46, sorry, I lost the passage here. But basically, this other passage says that Joseph, basically close, well, it's kind of a word, would close his eyes. And that's kind of what's happening here in 50, when he's now taking on the role of the son. It's not necessarily, it should be Reuben, but we know, you know, from the other chapters that Reuben is totally out of favor. And so now Joseph goes, he falls on his father's face, and so the word actually is, he actually closes his father's eyes. And this would be a rite of passage to the eldest son, or in this case, the most prominent son. It's really an honoring gesture. He kisses him, and he, in a very symbolic but real, he closes his eyes. And I just read the passage, so I'll find it for you. It's a few chapters before where this is mentioned. And then Joseph, because he made a promise to him, to his father, that he would take him back to Canaan. And so what he does is he has Israel embalmed. Now, I don't really know about this whole process, so I did a little bit of research. So the Egyptians, we know, are famous for their embalming skills. These embalmers, my translation says physicians, it's actually a whole different class of people. They were really, really special. Now, they don't embalm, or I guess in our modern day we would call mummify, right? They don't do this to anybody. It's only very special, royal, and thus the place of honor that Israel has, that Jacob has. In fact, you know that it's even more prestigious because he actually has a national holiday. There's a period of mourning which becomes a public holiday in our setting regarding his death. And he's only been in Egypt for just a few years. And so you can see the prominence that Joseph has in this land that they call a period of mourning and weeping. So the Egyptians, these physicians, these embalmers, it says 40 days for this, and they mourn for 70 days. It's because the embalming process actually takes 70 days. And so what typically happens is in the first 30 days, they basically gut the intestines, throw everything, and they start filling the body with resin, and then they put heat on certain parts, they close up things, all the kind of live aspects, that things that can decay, they take care of that during that time. This happens in this first 30 days. Now, the 40 days we're talking about is the next 40 days. It's a ritual procedure where they go and basically add spices and oils and all this. And this happens over a period of 40 days. And thus, so you conclude with the whole 70 days that's happening here. And so they take care of him in this way. But the Egyptians, man, they wept for him. They really took it to heart, even to the fact that they go all the way. So he has this huge procession that leads them all the way to Canaan. The Egyptians stop right at the border, right beyond the Jordan, right there, in this threshing floor called Atad. And then they had a heavy lamentation, really heavy. And then even the Canaanites saw it. And they said, wow, this is a huge company of people. I mean you can imagine there's Israel's body. There's the 70 plus of Joseph's, and all the brothers, kinfolk. I mean, everyone's there, servants. And then you have this whole procession of Egyptians as well. That was a huge scene. And then they get to this place. So the Egyptians went as far as the border from Egypt. And they stayed, and then the brothers went further into Canaan and went to bury. But as the Egyptians stopped there, they again mourned for another 7 days together. And, a lot of really pomp and circumstance, and, I mean, rightfully deserving of really the patriarch, the namesake of the Hebrews, Israel, that he's called. And so Joseph keeps his word. Well, before that, he needs to go and tell Pharaoh, and Pharaoh says, all right, I bless you. So he takes a leave of absence, basically, to do this. He goes and he buries Israel in this land, the burial site from Ephron the Hittite. And then another episode happens, and this actually is quite powerful. The brothers now, they're basically like, oh, crap, our protector's dead. So Israel is gone, and now they're actually really, really worrying. you can tell that they have not put this to rest yet. They could be, I mean, one, they could be so guilt-ridden of their sin. I'm going to talk about that in a moment. Or they could be more conscious of the repercussions of that. When we talk about repentance, there's usually a couple of different angles to it. One is people are just cut to the heart, right? They feel guilty. They're just broken about the situation. That's one side of repentance, right? The other side of repentance, I don't know if it's another side, but another aspect of it, is people are sorrowful, but maybe not necessarily repentant. Just think about a criminal that, again, you know, I love crime dramas. I don't know why. I'm just drawn to it. I love, I love Crime and Punishment. You know, I love justice. I love it when bad guys get what they deserve. You know, it's probably not the best characteristic for a pastor, right? Because it's supposed to be, you know, grace and things. But that's why I love kung fu movies, man, right? You kill my master, I'm going to kill your master. And it's a really simple, you know, aspect. But yet, and so when people get caught, some people are really broken about what they did. Some people are broken about getting caught. You guys know what I mean. I think we all kind of know the difference. And I'll say one is a godly sorrow, and the other one is not. One leads to repentance, and the other just leads to things that drag on. And so I don't know exactly with these brothers. I don't know. I mean, I honestly, for a few of them, you know that they were broken up about it. But I don't know if that's really the case all the way across the board. And so now their dad dies, and they're like, oh, crap, man. You know, Joseph could repay us now for the evil that we've done him. So they're acknowledging their evil, but are they more concerned about what they did? Or are they more concerned about now the possible punishment for what they did? We deal as parents. We deal with this all the time, you know. Something happens with the sisters, you know, I'm talking about our girls, with the sisters, and, you know, say sorry. And it's like, you know, as a parent, like, are you really sorry? I mean, we're kind of forcing you to say sorry because that should be proper, but are you really broken up about the fact that you took something and hurt someone's feelings? You know, a good thing, you know, our kids are not into hitting each other, so praise God. I guess when our boy comes, that'll be a different story. But like when they do things and they hurt somebody, or are they more sorry because they're being punished? You know what I mean? You get into this, and I think that's something that only like your heart has to deal with this, right? Are we repentant because we're really sorrowful and we regret? Or are we repentant, or are we, you know, sorry or whatnot because of impending punishment, you know, or whatever it may be? And so that's the case. And then so Joseph, and so they don't even go to Joseph. They're so afraid of him, they send him a message, right? It's like, hey, you know, son, can you go talk to, you know, or whatever the case may be. And then Joseph responds to his brothers with, and this is how you know that Joseph is totally over it. You know what I mean? That he bears no ill in it all, that he, and this is not something you can say to people right off the bat. You know, I mean, people, they went through a very, very difficult time, and you say to them off the bat, well, this is just God's will, man, so, you know, just figure it out. That's never helpful. But I think after the fact, when someone's come to peace with things that have happened, this is probably the A answer, or, you know, what we would think would be the proper conclusion. He says, don't be afraid, for am I in God's place? And this is a question. And it's a rhetorical question. Of course, I'm in God's place. And in verse 20, I'm sure you've read this passage before. It's powerful. It says, "As for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, in order to bring about this present result to preserve many people alive. So therefore, do not be afraid. I will provide for you and your little ones." So he comforted them and spoke kindly to them. You know, through just these couple verses, Joseph is totally free. You know what I mean? He bears no ill will to his brothers. He recognized that God was the initiator. In other words, talking about the sovereignty of God. God was in it this whole time. And he had a greater purpose for my current, you know, my previous situation. And in Joseph's mind, God has just totally redeemed all of these things. That's really beautiful. Think about, okay, now think about in our own life today, what aspects are, you know, we and I'm not trying to minimize anything, but you go through a difficult time, you have some certain episodes, whatever it may be, have we come full circle and said, man, I'm totally at peace with what happened? Maybe, and it's okay, maybe not then, and that's okay. Do you know what I mean? I mean, I think there's a process and a learning curve and a way we go about doing things and mourning and grieving. And, you know, if you go through, even in psychology, the whole stages of grief, you know, denial, anger, you know, I mean, there's a whole thing that comes up. And then finally acceptance. And I think there's 5 or 6 different stages. I forget, it was such a long time ago. And just think about in our own day and time, have we really come to peace with things that have happened in our lives? Maybe not usually it's not the best things that happen, but can we say God had a greater purpose in it? That I understand God's sovereignty. I know that God's love was with me all the time, and that there was really a greater purpose to what happened in my life. And I think that when you come to that place, I think you're free. I mean, I think you're really free. It doesn't happen overnight. But I mean, I can just in my own life, just a few things here and there and difficulties that I've had. Coming out of that, you know, that's why if you're counseling someone and, you know, or ministering to someone in their brokenness, I don't really suggest, hey man, this is just God's will, right? So buck up. That's probably not the best way to go about it. But, I mean, hopefully they get to that place down the road. They come to that place of peace, of shalom. And I really like this passage. Joseph looks beyond his circumstances and he looks to God. Joseph as that comes to total peace with it, and he attributes it to God's sovereignty. Joseph sees not just a temporal picture, but he sees something that's actually quite eternal. And I think what's going to help us in our journey in this way is really to have an eternal perspective. I can't think of a greater gift of God to us, the church, than really an eternal perspective on the life that we live temporally now. And so he says this, as for you, okay, he's not whitewashing it, right? He's not saying, it's cool, you guys didn't do anything. You know what I mean? He's saying, man, what you did was evil, right? I mean, Joseph is straight up. As for you, you meant evil against me. And so he's not dismissing, you know, like in our culture, we say, oh, it's cool, no worries, but it's not cool. And there's a lot of worries, right? We say all these things, but it's not true. And we have all this pent-up frustration and all these things. And he says, he calls black, black. He just calls it out and says, you meant evil against me. This is the truth, right? You sold me into slavery, man, right? I mean, you left me, and it was not easy. And so you meant evil against me, But again, but God meant it for good. This is really one of the great passages of redemption. The devil did this, and in fact, if you Psalm 119, 71 draws this point even more. But God meant it for good. And this is the higher purpose, to bring about this present result, to preserve many people alive. And really, if you look at higher purpose, it's dealing with the people of Israel, the Hebrews. Joseph doesn't go into slavery. I know now we're working hindsight, right? Doesn't go into slavery, doesn't have that dream. Most likely, the Hebrew people no longer exist. Now, that would be a tragedy because Jesus is the seed of these people, okay? And so you see how important. And so, you know, if that's to happen, if it's to suffer on that point, to see billions of people, right, become that you were estranged from God, now become sons and daughters of God, I think Joseph is saying, yeah, I think it's worth it to have a few years of brokenness. And I hope that in our life, as we encounter different things, that we also can come full circle and say, you know, God, I know it wasn't a pleasant situation, but Lord, I've grown because of it. I'm a better person because of it. There is a greater purpose in God because of this. And again, it's a process, right? No one's expecting people to do it overnight. But to come full circle and says, man, this has really been an incredible blessing. For me personally, I mean, just as a personal testimony, probably one of the most difficult episodes of my life personally was when my mom passed away. And, you know, and I share quite openly about it now and things. But I tell you, through that experience and through even some of the pain, you guys know, you know, I wasn't sleeping and all these things and crying all the time. Through all that, though, man, I've really been able to help so many people. It's been really unreal. I remember particularly I was in Australia. I was in a parking lot. It was actually right before I was about to preach at this conference. And I was just meeting people in the parking lot. And one of the girls that I knew brought her friend whose mom just passed away. Parents are pastors as well. And like everything she went through or she's going through, because it happened like 2 weeks ago, I totally relate. And so I just, you know, it's in the parking lot, 15 minutes. I just shared my testimony through this and my experience. And it was crazy, man. We both cried in the parking lot together, and just brought so much comfort I mean, that's just one situation. So many times, I can't even, you know, so many times just ministering to people through my experience, and I see, wow, God, there is a greater purpose in all this, right? I mean, there's something that's really quite tangible and real that people connect to. It's not just a sermon illustration. It's a powerful life experience that that really moves and comforts people's hearts. And I feel like, wow, there's something powerful about this. You know, the reality, everyone dies. Every one of us, we're going to die. Okay? But to have, even in our death, to have life come out of that, it's quite powerful, right? It's Jesus, right? Even in his death, life happens. And that's really our ethos as Christians. And that's where Joseph comes to this place. Well, Joseph eventually, you know, they have an incredible, happy life. Joseph and his brothers, things are well. And then Joseph passes. And so Genesis concludes basically with the patriarchs, with the death of Joseph. And then today's what, Friday? Yeah, so tomorrow we're going to start Exodus. And the story changes a little bit. Unfortunately, they're too successful as a people. But we'll get into that tomorrow. We'll do kind of an overview of Exodus and then get to the first chapter. All right, so let's close our eyes today. And I'm just going to ask one question as we pray today. Is there anything in your life right now that's really troubling you? This is kind of related to a life situation or some brokenness or anything. Are you still processing it through? You know, and so it's kind of like a where you're at kind of question. In that, do you feel like you've come through that tunnel, or maybe a better way of using David's analogy, you walk through the valley of the shadow of death. And you come to that place and say, well, the devil planned for evil, but God turned to good. And just let the Holy Spirit just kind of go through your memory banks. And just ask him this to show you and speak to you about maybe certain, could be unresolved. Maybe they are resolved, and that's great. And you can praise God for that. Well, God, thank you for just coming out the other end of the valley. Where I can say like Joseph, the devil planned for evil, but God turned into good. Right? No weapon formed against you shall prosper. And if you're still going through the process, you know, maybe there are some wounds and some things that you still need to, that you just really just talk to God through it. And no one's blaming you. It's not saying, oh, this is so late. You know, something happened 10 years ago. And no, it's nothing like that. There's no judgment, no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Right? Romans 8:1. But just kind of like where we're at right now. And so you know what points to pray through. Maybe to receive some inner healing in, some counseling, some kind of resolution in some way, so that we don't have, you know, these things that are kind of carrying over us in that way. All right, so can we just pray about that this morning?
Belong.
Let's pray this morning. And the question that I ask is either, you know, you come to this place like Joseph and totally resolved whatever situation it was, and so it's a time for thanksgiving. You know, Lord, thank you. Maybe you're in the process now, and then it's a prayer for God's help. Lord, help me to understand. Help me to move forward. Lord, minister to my broken heart and help me to trust you, God. And so let's respond to the Lord in that way this morning. Let's give our heart to him. Let's pray together. Can we pray over our community this morning? Well, let's pray for those that are battling cancer. I mentioned yesterday, one of those items is my aunt. And they had to stop the chemotherapy because her arteries are getting too damaged. Something is going on there, so they had to postpone for a while. And so pray that her body gets fixed up so that she can continue her round of chemo. And so let's pray for the other ones on this list, and God's asked for God's healing and comfort to come. Well, let's pray. Let's pray for our community that is ill but needs to meet with Jesus. Let's pray for God's healing of the heart and the soul. Let's lift up, the body. Let's pray for those that are ill, non-cancer related. Ask for God's hand. If I could add one more, if we could pray for Juanita. Juanita has some kind of iron deficiency blood issue. So she was actually supposed to arrive today, but the doctor has postponed the trip. And so it could be potentially serious. So if we could just lift her up. It has something to do with her blood basically clotting too much, which means high risk of heart attack, stroke, all that kind of stuff. And so if we could just remember to pray for her, and hopefully she'll get here next week. And just please lift her up during this time as well. Let's pray for work. Let's pray for God's provision for our friends as they look for work. Let's pray that during this time they wouldn't get too discouraged, but that they would use their time well, that the Lord would have a purpose in it for them. Let's pray. Let's go to our mission focus, and let's pray for our beloved city of Hong Kong. Let's pray for our government, and let's pray for God's hand upon the leaders that run the city. Let's pray against that wealth gap, and pray for revival. Pray Holy Spirit would breathe upon this place, that we'd really be a city on a hill and a light to China. Pray for the churches here, local churches, international churches, ethnic churches. Lift up our friends ministering at YWAM, Sports Services, Shanty, Masters Beauty, Sons and Daughters. Pray for Face to Face and Feed the Hungry, CSW, and the Korean Church. And let's just ask the Lord to really bless this city, especially amongst the workers here that are ministering. Let's just pray. Let's pray for our missions committee. Let's pray for the members of our committee that we would work diligently to carry through the missions concerns on God's heart for our community. Let's pray for more opportunities and ways that we can get our church members involved in God's redemptive, global redemptive plan. And so let's pray for that, for them as these leaders as they lead. Let's pray for our local outreach, it's the pride of our church. Let's pray for our community center that be used well. Let's pray for Igape, the English and computer ministries. Let's pray for the homeless ministries, SP Lights, the Freedom Ministry. Ministry Mother's Choice and our Bridge Translation Ministry. Let's pray for our leaders that are leading these ministries. Pray for Pastor Sophia and Janella. Lift up all the volunteers that come and that they would continue to be strengthened. You know, these ministries, kind of you just pour out yourself all the time. And pray that each one spends time with God and in the Word so they can also eat as they give. And so pray against burnout and, you know, and all these things. So that's the hand, God's hand to be upon our people. And let's pray for our activities tonight. Let's pray for SPU, McCain House Church, DB House Church, and IP. Let's pray Holy Spirit would just move upon us so powerfully through the preaching of the Word, through the discussions of the sermons, through the interactions, through praying in the heavenlies for the body. Let's just pray for a fruitful time tonight as we gather together. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you this morning. We thank you for just the incredible story of Joseph, God. Lord, he didn't start out too well, Lord. But man, what a faithful servant of the Lord to his last breath, God. He had such a clear perspective on who you were, Lord, and on the things that have happened in his life, God. And as a result, Lord, so much favor, God. Lord, you know, this is one of my prayers that I pray for myself and especially for the church all the time. Lord, release that favor, God, upon us. Come, Holy Spirit. Lord, we just thank you, God. We thank you for our time in Genesis, Lord, and let the chapters and the messages and the insights, God, let it really minister to our hearts, God. Lord, as we are drinking milk and eating meat of the Word. And so, but now help us to apply it, God. We thank you, Lord. Just watch over us, Lord, the rest of this day as we give glory to your Son, Jesus. And in his precious name we pray. Amen. Amen. Bless you guys. Thanks for walking through Genesis. It was a pretty long journey. It's, you know, January to, what is it, May? Not bad. Not good, but not bad. But others will be a little faster. So bless you. All right. Enjoy the rest of your prayer time today.